Welcome to Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Animal Crossing. Episode 176 is brought to you by Jessica DeLuca, Happy Fox, and Eleanor, some of our newest Patreon patrons. This week, Nina, Sergio, and I are going to talk about the island tour creator, the beginning of Bunny Day, and then talk about the real-time clock in Animal Crossing New Horizons. So to begin, hello, Sergio. How are you doing?
Hello, Chewy. I'm doing pretty awesome. You know, Haken is sort of, sometimes it's related to KK Slider, right? And I'm drinking some coffee on a KK Slider mug, which is sitting on a KK Slider coaster. So I'm doing amazing.
That sounds perfect. Perfect evening. And then, hi, Nina. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm fully vaccinated over here.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. You're ready to go to Disneyland.
I am so ready to go to Disneyland and ride all the roller coasters.
Yes, that's the dream right now. we want to get out of here so bad. And I'm sure everybody else does too. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. All right, so let's actually start pretty quickly. I don't know how long we're going to talk about this because I've only played with it for a little while, but let's talk about the Island Tour Creator. So this is kind of a little thing that came out with the last update, and it's kind of a whole side thing. You do it through your cell phone, basically, like your smartphone.
Right.
But Nintendo has put together this little site where you can create a tour of your island, and I played it, like I said, I played it really quickly. Sergio, I think you did a little bit with it too. Nina, have you gotten a chance to look at this yet?
Zero.
Yeah, honestly, I almost forgot that it was a thing for a little while. And then I was thinking about it after work today, and I was like, we're recording today. Maybe I should check this thing out real quick. As far as my experience with it, I at first had a lot of trouble finding it. I had to like click into articles that people wrote about it, right, and then find the link to go to it from there. Right. So it was not easy to find, you know, just a couple clicks through a Google search, but it wasn't like it just popped up, you know, right, front page kind of thing. But once I found it, it did have a pretty cute setup for it. Tom Nook shows up and he's talking to you. He's saying, hey, we want to make a little tour of your island and show off all of the things that you've got going on. And it's all like actually moving on your phone, like it's a video.
Right.
And you can click through it and see the dialogue and everything. So I really like that it was pretty interactive. It felt kind of like you were sitting at a desk at like Nook's Homes or something, getting this whole, I guess, trailer experience, you could say. But
right,
once you get started on it, it actually asks you if you want to create a poster for your island or a trailer. And I haven't done the poster quite yet, so I just did a trailer. And the cool thing about this app is it can pull images and videos from either your phone or from Twitter. You can actually log into Twitter. I don't really have any on my phone at the moment. I don't know if you all have tried the new kind of switch system that you can do where you can download things to your phone from the little gallery. I find it to be kind of clunky and it has me scan too many QR codes, so I just don't feel as interested in doing it that way. I'm just like, you know what, I want to post things on my Twitter and then do it that way, you know? So I logged into my Twitter. I started taking some random things from there. But before you do that, you actually get a little bit, you get like 9 options of different things to highlight.
Right.
So the options can be like the museum, scenery, your home, all sorts of stuff like that. I picked my home, scenery, and my villagers. So
yes,
those were a couple options. And I lucked out because those were things that I actually had posted on my Twitter could pull from. So it wasn't too bad. But the thing I noticed was for some categories, you could only pick images, and others you could pick images and video.
Okay.
So the home option, I could only pick an image, and same with my villagers, and maybe it was just how it was organized. I'm not really sure. I'll have to experiment with it more and report back on that. But I picked a couple images for my home, a video for the scenic portion, and then a couple images of my villagers. Yes. And once you put it together, it takes a little bit to load because it's like, all right, let us actually take this information, put it together into this thing. I was very surprised to find that the trailer has that woman from the advertisements and everything, like, actually talking over it and saying, like, enjoy your time. I don't know. It was fun. I showed it to Jackie immediately. I was like, Jackie, look at what I just made. And she was like, this is pretty cool. I want to make one. So it's cute. Overall, I like it. It's not the cleanest experience to, like, you know, log in and put in all the stuff, but it does what it needs to do, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, the end product, you can download it on your phone too. You can send yourself an email with a link to it, so you can download it on your computer if you want as well. So the one thing they do warn you, though, is that it will stay available for like a couple days and then automatically delete. So if you're making these things, like, downloading them is going to be the only way that you can actually keep them. Yeah, so that's my warning there. But yeah, I liked it. Sergio, what was your little experience with this whole creator?
Yeah, it's very cool. See, like you mentioned, there's different categories. I kind of want to use all of them, so make like three different trailers, you know, for everything, because I really like the way they turn out. And also the posters, there's been a lot of people, even on our Discord and on Twitter, just putting up posters of their island, and you get like a template, and it even includes your dream address. So it looks very, very nice. I was going to start making a trailer, but then I got too into it and I wanted to be like as perfect as it can, so I'm still looking back through my photos and videos and deciding what I want to do. I heard there are a couple of issues. Some people are reporting that they have photos or videos that were legit taken through the Switch, either on Twitter or on their phone, and the app is not recognizing them, so you might run into that. Also, if your island name has a space in between it, it's not going to show up. And yeah, that was a complaint that I saw, and that's a little unfortunate. But yeah.
So it squishes them together?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, other than that, it's a really cool feature. Again, we need to highlight that it's only around for the rest of this year, I believe. So yeah, if this sounds interesting to you, I think we should all definitely make as many trailers as we can before the chance goes away.
I'm so excited to play around with
it. Yeah. You're going to like it. I just, like the first thing Sergio said about wanting to make a ton of different ones. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's how I feel. I just want to make a million different trailers for Haken. And I'm really glad it's sounding like it's going to be around the rest of the year, because I was already terrified that it's going to like disappear on Wednesday at the end of the month or something. And I was just like, I better start grinding. I need to like get every single thing from like Halloween, Thanksgiving, all the holidays, make a trailer for those. I don't know. I've got big, big plans with this thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just thinking about maybe postings, or not posting, but like, I don't know, taking some new videos just for this so that I can make sure get like all the brand new stuff in my town. But what I've seen from people posting on Twitter and in Discord, it's adorable.
Yeah, and funny enough, like, I kind of haven't been seeing all this stuff, and if I do, I'm like, maybe I should just save it for myself. And then I did it today, and it was my first time seeing it, and I was really surprised to hear the little voiceover from that. It's a really nice touch, and I like it a lot. Yeah, so if you haven't yet, go play with this thing. It's free to use, basically, if you have an internet connection and can post things either through your phone or on Twitter. It's not too bad. It's a pretty easy thing to use. Of course, there are, you know, those little issues that Sergio mentioned and everything, but overall, you should be able to make it work well enough. And right away, you're going to think like Nina and be like, I need to go record and take new photos for this because it's good.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and hop on over to our next little section, and we're going to talk about Bunny Day. it has been the long dreaded holiday for many Animal Crossing New Horizons players, except for probably Sergio and I, who happen to think it's pretty great. We like Bunny Day. So Bunny Day has begun, and we are finally seeing kind of our first rerun holiday, right? So the thing that I've noticed with this one is there are some differences outside of just having the Bunny Day recipes and all the eggs and stuff. We are getting some new items at Nook's Cranny. So this is a big deal for players, especially because these new items are so much better than the base Bunny Day items. Nina, I guess, how do you feel about these new items, since I know you're less of a fan of Bunny Day?
They are better than the items you get from the eggs or make from the eggs. But they're still just not for me. That's all. They're cuter. They are cute, and I know a lot of people are excited about them. They're just not for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get that. I still think, I mean, the items have never been the reason that I like Bunny Day.
Yeah.
It's basically like, I just really like that the event takes over, and it's just a big, big thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. The items, I agree with you, they're not the best. I think these are much better than the ones before, and I much prefer decorating with these around my island, and I feel like it fits the theme well enough.
Yeah. But
yeah, I'm not in a rush to really collect them all this time around. I'm just kind of like getting them one at a time at my shop, and I have had some sent to me from friends and everything, and I've been, you know, just sticking those around, but I haven't been ordering them or anything. I'm just like, you know what? I'll get whatever pops up and I'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely put a couple of bunny topiaries outside my square because those are adorable, but that's about it so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I want to note that's different with this is they have definitely taken some player feedback here, and they have reduced the amount of time that Bunny Day takes place in. So instead of the 2 weeks that we had in the original run of Bunny Day, it's just the 1 week this time around.
Oh my and gosh, was it 2 weeks last time? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, no, it was two full weeks. One of them, unfortunately. Yeah, no, it's important to remember, because one of them, I guess it lined up with the cherry blossom stuff.
Right.
So it was very difficult for people looking for the cherry blossom stuff and getting like 40 Bunny Day items and everything. I don't know. I feel like, yes, there were Bunny Day items in the way of getting the cherry blossom stuff, but the balloon rates were very high.
Yes.
And I feel like the cherry blossom stuff just fell out of the sky, you know, which literally it did.
And last year, about a week in, is when they dropped the rates, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially a lot of people, I think there are a lot of people who really connect with the fishing in Animal Crossing. And you definitely saw that in the beginning of this game with a lot of players really into fishing, catching as much as possible, donating that to the museum, that sort of thing. Especially around this time of year when, you know, summer is the big time for bugs, so the bugs aren't really out as much, but fishing was the bane of people's existence during Bunny Day just because they kept getting those water eggs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I don't have to fish for 2 weeks. I have fun with all the other parts of the game. But some people were like, no, I need to fish. That's what I need to do. What is this? Why is this killing me? And you know what? I don't blame them for that. Fishing's fun. It's a fun little surprise in this game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, I do think this was one of our comments at the end of Bunny Day last time. I think, Sergio, you still kind of wanted it at 2 weeks, didn't you?
I think a week is enough. Because I can see that 2 weeks is, yeah, it's a little too much. I think 1 week events would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm right there too. I think at the end of Bunny Day, I was like, you know what? I don't think we needed it quite for 2 weeks. I think 1 week is pretty good.
Right.
And already I'm just like, oh, am I going to regret that? How many items are showing up at Nooks here? I haven't looked them up, so I don't know. Mm. And there better not be more than 7 because there aren't even, the event's not going to be around for that. So, you know, that would encourage trading and everything. And, you know, there's always next year to get them.
Well,
but,
and at least this time we can order more than one. With Pave, we could only get one at a time and it nearly killed me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the rough part with these. I love that they're going with the multiples, like buy tons and tons of these. It doesn't matter. It's mass produced. It's Bunny Day. This stuff is all over the place. Have you seen the eggs?
It's multiplying.
Yeah, like bunnies do. It's very accurate to to bunnies. But yeah, so those are kind of the things that I've noticed. So I guess let's kind of talk about how we feel playing the game these days. Nina, how are you feeling? Do you feel like the eggs are getting in the way of your life?
I mean, yes. I've already had 3 different villagers run up to me and try to offload eggs on me. So it feels like even they're tired of all the eggs. Like, they're like, please, I have all these extra eggs, take them. So I feel like if they're making it that easy, like, I'm not having to shoot down balloons or dig up eggs because the villagers just keep giving them to me. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going real hardcore into Bunny Day this year.
Yeah, and you know what? I do think that part of that is because the event is shorter. Mm. I mean, like, I'm not kidding when I say there's like 40 recipes for Bunny Day. Yes. There are a lot. And, you know, because we have less time to collect these eggs, there's some that are a little bit harder to find depending on how many trees you have. You only have 6 rocks on your island. The villagers actually recommend going on island tours in order to hit more rocks over there for the rock eggs and everything. But like having the villagers run up and give you eggs seems like their way of kind of addressing how many recipes you really have to build. Yeah. And I'm kind of wondering, like, I'm collecting things, I'm kind of crafting them because I am interested to see if there's a new like super prize item from Zipperty Bunny this year, you know.
Okay.
I haven't like looked at the data mines and stuff, so people who have looked at the spoilers probably know that answer already. Right now I don't, so I'm just, you know, enjoying the game the way I do. But yeah, like the one thing that I think is hilarious though is the first villager, and I saw this kind of across the board, and let me know if this happened to you too, but the first villager gave me water eggs. Like, come on. Those are the easiest eggs to come by if you're a fisher. You know, you're fishing all day, you got water eggs.
Yeah.
And I still have a bunch in my pocket right now, like way more than any other egg. Was that the case for both of you?
I'm going to have to look. I took a video of it, actually. So let me run to my Twitter. It was Blanche that like ran up to me. And what did they give you? 5?
I think it was 5, yeah. And maybe 10.
And
who
on
knows?
Top of that, what's his name? Zipper gives you 10 also. So
yeah.
She did give me water eggs. And I think that Zipper also gave me water eggs. So I'm starting out the week with 15 water eggs.
That's so many.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you guys realize that was the complaint, right? Last year, there too many water eggs.
Yes.
And part of me wonders, I know we don't fish quite like we did at the beginning of the game.
That's true.
You know,
right.
We don't, a lot of us have already done that goal of catching 100 fish in a row without messing up. That was a big motivator there and everything. We've donated practically every fish in the game or every fish in the game like some other people. So, you know, fishing, there's not much incentive to do it. And so I kind of wonder if the rates are dropped like pretty dramatically there.
Well, also, and luckily, like, the eggs are a certain size fish. It's not random. So if you really want to avoid catching those eggs, then you can just not go after that size shadow.
Yeah,
unless you really want the eggs, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the other thing. One thing that people forget about the eggs is they can be eaten and used to move trees and break rocks. And the big benefit with them, using them instead of like fruit, is that they stack to 30 instead of 10.
Oh.
So you can have a much bigger stack of eggs to do all that and save room on inventory if you're doing a lot of work, you know? So,
how much
you know, just,
a,
just a pro
for?
Tip there. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how much they sell for. I just know that you can eat them, and that seems pretty good. Was there anything else you all have noticed about it, or is this kind of everything for Bunny Day thus far?
I think that's about everything. Like, it seems... It already seems better than last year. I think also a big part is that, you know, last year for those people that started playing the game on day one, we were playing the game a lot in, you know, the event was kind of a little too much, especially because it was 2 weeks. So I think now being a week, either for people that are still playing the game a lot or like people that are new to it, like people that got it maybe during the holidays last year. So I think 1 week is enough. I still think the slight issue is the overlap with the cherry blossoms, but, you know, Chewy, like you said, there's always next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this time around, it doesn't seem like the overlap is going to completely overshadow cherry blossoms this time. Like, it's not quite cherry blossom season yet. I think it's just going to catch the tail end of Bunny Day, right?
Yeah.
So that's one big benefit there. And then the other two, Sergio, that you mentioned is like, yeah, anybody who has not played this game during Bunny Day yet, like you kind of have a lot to do in this event. There's a bunch of recipes, tons of eggs to get and craft. And, you know, there's the special prizes that you'll get from Zipper T Bunny at the end. So it's kind of worth at least doing the full experience for your first time. I'm doing it again just to, you know, if we have a special new item at the end, I definitely don't want to miss out on that, because who knows what it'll be next year. But I really do like that we're also getting a taste of, like, how are they going to go into events in year two of this game? Like, we've seen how they've worked before. We've seen kind of the base structure to them. And it's really cool to see... Just are there gonna be bigger changes in the future? Like this one, it's pretty small considering it's like, you know, some new items at the shop, and that's not, I don't know, I guess it's not as invasive as the eggs are taking up the overworld, you know, but it is pretty nice to see the shops get in on it this time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so one thing I would really like is if, you know, Able Sisters had something for it too, like some just better clothing than the horrible egg outfits that they gave us.
And egg dress, the big like finale dress, which is incredible.
Yeah, these things are, we need something else, please, Able Sisters. Label, come and design something.
Yeah.
Needs a makeover.
Oh man, the Bunny Day backpack. I'm looking at these things now. It's ugly.
They're all awful.
Yeah. I'm gonna wear them around because we have to, but we'll see. I can't promise you that I'll enjoy it. Yeah. So cool. I guess next week we'll probably talk a little bit more about, you know, the ends of Bunny Day and everything. Cherry Blossom starting, I believe Thursday is the start of that. So yeah, April Fool's Day. 1st. Unfortunately, it's not looking like we're going to get an appearance from Blanca yet again this year. She's been demoted to whoopee cushion status, which... Exactly, Nina. Like, it's a groan because it hurts to see some of these characters get demoted, yeah, like as they have been. Wendell the walrus. That Jackie loves Wendell. Aww. His little PJs. She thinks he's the cutest. But right now, he just shows up on Dream Islands as a little design board that you can click on, yeah, and steal patterns from. But yeah, I wonder if there will be a future with a lot of these characters. As of right now, it's starting to look less and less,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, this last update is the 1.9 update, so we'll find out pretty soon if they have anything planned for like a big 2.0 type, yeah, of thing.
I was really, yeah, hoping that because of the late Easter last year and kind of this year, that, you know, we had Easter and Cherry Blossom and April Fool's all kind of in the perfect storm, and that was why we weren't seeing Blanca. And now we're not seeing Blanca again because there's still a little bit of an overlap with Bunny Day. Like, maybe we can cross our fingers that Easter will move a little bit next year, and yeah, we can have room for Blanca. But I don't foresee a good future for poor little faceless Blanca.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I get the feeling that it was pretty difficult to stuff things into this game. It definitely got delayed because they couldn't quite finish it in time with things. And, you know, they're adding stuff over time, the event things. And I still feel like we're kind of hoping there's some other things that are going to happen. But at the same time, like, how much is the hardware holding this back? Because already, you know, there are lots of parts on islands that are just really laggy and the frames drop and it doesn't feel as great to play on a really full island after a while. So I guess I'm not confident that we'll see a lot of special characters appear as like permanent staples on the island with their own buildings and everything, because this game was designed kind of with the intention of people having like 8 players live on a single island along with 10 other villagers, and you know, the building space runs out pretty quickly, yeah, from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, you know, they make an expansion to the island. Make it bigger, Tom Nook. I'd pay for that. Yeah. So let's actually hop into our next topic. And this is going to be kind of a big one. And we're going to discuss Animal Crossing's real-time clock and if the game needs it. I mean, I'm sure we feel like it does. But this thought kind of came to me recently, and it's kind of thinking about the direction that was taken with New Horizons, how this game came to be, and a lot of it does seem like it came from player feedback and things, specifically stuff like people basically being sad when their villagers leave and being tired of that and having no control about where they live, you know, and them moving away randomly. I don't know. A lot of these features feel like it was really aimed at giving players more control over the villagers around their island, right?
Right.
And so I think about the common complaints I hear about the game now. And outside of, like, you know, people wanting more features in the game in general, a lot of it, well, I guess there's also people complaining about villagers being kind of uninteresting and needing more dialogue. Other things, especially early on in the game, felt like they were complaints that really were based around the real-time clock. For example, people saying they don't like that they have to wait a day to move a building or destroy a bridge or build an incline, you know, right, all of the kind of more time-sensitive actions in the game were basically complaints from people, you know? And that got me thinking, like, how essential is the real-time clock to Animal Crossing players? So I want to open that up to both of you. Is the real-time clock an essential part of your experience with Animal Crossing? Sergio, do you want to kick us off here?
Yes, no problem. And I think it is essential, absolutely. Personally, I haven't played any other games that use real-time in such a significant way. I can think of a few games that, you know, they have a distinction between day and night. Mm. And a couple of things change besides, you know, the visuals, like the sun and moon and the graphics and the lighting. But Animal Crossing just takes it all the way. Everything changes every hour. Things are always happening. The weather, the invites that you get, the stores that open or close. It embraces that mechanic. Now, like I've said, I haven't played a lot of simulation type games or life sims. So I'm not sure, maybe there's other games that actually use real time like that, but I haven't played any myself, and I think it is essential to Animal Crossing.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, the real-time clock aspect is really the part of the recipe that tends to be missing with a lot of games that are like, oh, it's like Animal Crossing, you know?
Right.
the big important part, I'd say, to Animal Crossing is definitely the real-time clock, and it's strange that that's not included. There's one game I've heard that has it. I think it's called Magician's Quest. Emily with two E's would mention it. In the past, I never got to play it, but that game used a real-time clock as well. Oh. And recently, one came to my attention that is coming out pretty soon, and it's going to be out on Switch, I think April 8th, somewhere around then. But it's called Cozy Grove, and that game is actually going to use a real-time clock as well, and it's going to be kind of a life sim type of thing.
Okay.
So there are some examples that follow it, but yeah, like you're saying, Sergio, like not too many, especially not ones that I've actually played either. Like both the games I just mentioned, I haven't played. One isn't out yet on Switch. I think it's out on like Apple Arcade or something at the moment. So I haven't played it. I don't have an iPhone. That's for me. It's a work phone. But yeah, I don't know. I think, like you, Sergio, I think it is an essential part in the sense of, like, a lot of the fun is the changing seasons and things. And while there always have been and always will be players who like to time travel through the game and everything and just experience different things at different times, right? I think a large majority of the players probably still just kind of play in real time and I kind of stick to at least the season that they're in, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of it for me. Like I just don't want to lose the seasonal experience with this game. But yeah, I guess Nina, how do you feel about it?
I totally agree. I think the real time clock sets Animal Crossing apart from those other real life sims. I'm someone who has played a few, like My Time at Portia and the Harvest Moon series and Stardew Valley. Mm-hmm. And their clock works just like on a timer. So the day is either 15 minutes or 30 minutes, and you do what you can in that time before the day moves on. And it stresses me out. I cannot play those games for very long because the mechanic is very repetitive. Every 30 minutes, you have to do the same things over and over again. And you've got to get things done within a certain amount of time, and it doesn't leave you a whole lot of time to kind of plan out your day. So honestly, I think the real-time clock is the reason I keep coming back to Animal Crossing and the reason why I can play it for years and years without getting bored of it. It's just so calming. I really enjoy how slow it makes me go. Which is nice. Sometimes I need that buffer.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I definitely agree with that. Like, my experience with a lot of those games, too, is, like, I'm stressed out by this clock that's ticking a lot faster than our real-time days do.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, it took me literally 20 hours to get into Stardew Valley. And a lot of it was just because, like, there's not really a chance to breathe in that game. Like, you can pause it by going into like your backpack menu or something, but like I need that time to just run around and figure out what I want to do in my day. But like Stardew Valley feels like you have to know what you're doing that day and then go and do it. And I'm just like, but how do I find that out? Like, I don't know. It caused a lot of stress. Eventually, 20 hours later, I was like, okay, I think I get what I'm going for. Mm-hmm. And now I know how to, you know, play out my days a lot better. And same as you, did you mention Littlewood?
Oh, I love Littlewood. I've been getting so into that.
Yeah, Littlewood, what I love about that is like there is no clock. It's all basically like you have stamina, and once that stamina is depleted, like your day is done, you know, which that comes with its stresses for players too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think overall it has been a lot easier to deal with that than, you know, just a clock ticking down, because I feel like that game gives me time to walk around and figure out what I want to do and then do the actions that actually use up stamina.
Walking around doesn't take up stamina, or talking to people in town doesn't take up stamina. So you can kind of dilly-dally your day away and still have time to do stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
And I don't want to bash too hard on Stardew Valley and Harvest Moon and everything, because I know it has huge fans. And I think it really does help those veteran players, like you were saying, once you've played for a while and you know the map like the back of your hand and you know what needs to get done, I can understand how it's like a calming, charming way to play. But it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, yeah, and the Stardew Valley thing, I became a fan after that 20 hours. Yeah. I played another 100 hours beyond that. Mm-hmm. Once I got the hang of it, like, it wasn't hard for me to get into it, and I did fall in love with the game eventually, but it was a lot more work than I expected to enjoy a game, funny enough. But yeah, like, overall, I am kind of just sad that some of these complaints are kind of around the real-time aspects to the game, where I'm just like, I don't know, man. Animal Crossing's kind of always been a game about waiting for things to happen. Yeah. And you just kind of enjoy everything in between that time, you know? Mm-hmm. And that said, I do want to point out really quickly, New Horizons is the first game that kind of had a day that we played that existed outside of time.
Yes.
Oh.
So the very first day that you move in, it's just like, it's bright and sunny no matter what. It's a day outside of the real-time clock where you're getting settled into your island for the first time. And then after that, the game starts following the regular motions of previous Animal Crossing games, you know. So
yes.
Already they're kind of playing with the idea of, you know, maybe not being so tied to the clock, you know?
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if they do add more of that storyline, if those like cutscene days will continue to exist outside of the real time clock.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Yeah. So I do have a follow up question for both of you. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the more recent Animal Crossing games have made the real time clock a little bit less necessary? Sergio, what do you think?
I think in some ways maybe, but not in others. And when I was thinking about like examples of this, the biggest one that I can think of is the morning prices for buying turnips, or well, selling them at the Nook shop, you know. The first one, the morning one, is available only for 4 hours for you. But the afternoon one is, I believe it's 10 hours, right? And Nook closes at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge difference. It's more than double the hours. So there are still some things that could be balanced better a little bit, I think. It's nice that in New Horizons, some of the special characters are around pretty much for the whole day or the majority of the day. But like I said, like with the turnip prices or with other things, there could still be some balance. It would have been nice to still have maybe at least the two ordinances from New Leaf that had to do with time. The shops could either close maybe, I don't know, at least 2 or 3 hours earlier or later than they do now. So with that option, we could at least have that. I think there's still ways to improve it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it kind of makes me wonder how big the complaints have been regarding the times, you know? Just because, like, maybe the pandemic played a little bit of a role in Nintendo's favor here because more people were at home at probably hours of the day that they weren't usually home, right, you know? Exactly. So, you know, like, now I can check in during my lunch break pretty easily because, like, it's right there, you right. know? So... I don't know. I feel like a lot of people could go in and check things more, but like once the world returns to something more normal than what it is now, is this option going to be more of a problem for people? Like not having the night owl ordinance or the early bird ordinance that allows them to check their shops at different times, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, for now, I'm going to assume that the world situation played in Nintendo's favor here.
Yeah.
Right.
And because I haven't seen people really complain about the time. And it could also just be maybe people are more okay with time traveling, too, or yeah. setting their clock to different times and know kind of how to approach the game and the system, the real-time clock system, mm-hmm. you know? So, I wonder about that. I don't know. So, yeah, I guess, Nina, what do you think? Do you feel like the clock is becoming less necessary in these new titles?
No, I don't think it's less necessary. But just like you guys were talking about, that there are workarounds. I do think that we are missing those ordinances, like Sergio said. We need an in-game system to help people who don't work on, like, a 9-to-5 schedule. Because it's so easy to change your clock on the Switch, and they're really, especially if you keep the clock changed, there's really no consequences to playing, you know, at a different time of day. And if you're not doing the turnip trade, then of course you can time travel and do whatever you need to do. Right. But I think that they need to take into account people who don't work or live on a, you know, daily, I don't want to say normal, but like, you know, a more established schedule, I guess. And that they should make those workarounds part of the game, so that you don't feel like you're cheating or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a lot of people really do want the experience as intended. Yeah. You know? So I get that. And you said a funny word that totally reminded me of things, but there really aren't too many consequences with messing with that stuff. Previous games, Rossetti's gonna be there to yell at you if you ever reset things. This game, people are resetting all willy-nilly when they're like, oh, I don't want this villager to move if a campsite visitor they want says, oh, this person can move and I'll come here, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, there isn't a consequence for that. You're not going to get yelled at by Rossetti in this one. On top of that, villagers cannot move without your say-so. Like, you have to agree to it.
Right.
So, everybody who was, like, ever bummed in the past when they missed a day, and then the next time they come in, their villagers are all gone. It's like, you know, there's some pain there, right?
Yeah.
So... I think a lot of the consequences we had for not checking in or skipping days or resetting stuff, that's disappeared with New Horizons. I'd say I haven't seen really anything significantly bad happen to players if they decide to play this way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, part of that, I'd say there's goods and bads to both of these. The goods being like, you know, people can just enjoy the game the way they can, you know,
yeah,
and the way they want to. So that's great. And then the bads are like, I don't know, I kind of like being punished for that stuff. I feel like every Animal Crossing player needs that experience of their best friend leaving.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the Animal Crossing movie.
That's true.
It's beautiful. You know, it's tragic. And it hurts, but it's beautiful, and it makes you stronger.
made it a more friendly game. They've rounded the game instead of kept it pointy, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, like, I know I'm in the minority of thinking that having that rough experience is the one to have, you know, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. I know a lot of people don't need that type of pain in their Animal Crossing life.
Well, and what Rossetti flies a helicopter now because moms wrote into Nintendo saying that he scared their children, right?
Yeah. And you know what? They tried their darndest to keep them in as long as they possibly could, because those letters have been coming out since game one, the first game. And to see him survive through 3.5 games, because you did have the option not to ever see Rossetti and New Leaf if you didn't want to. If you never built the little manhole thing, you never got Rossetti. So 3.5 games Rossetti made it through until they finally kicked him out, and he's there to rescue you now. He's a hero. So my next question for both of you: do you think we'll ever see a mainline Animal Crossing game without the real-time clock? And I specified mainline here because we have had an Animal Crossing game without a real-time clock, two of them. Amiibo right. Festival, which it's hardly a game, so hard to say. But there's also Happy Home Designer. That doesn't have a real-time clock, but it does cycle through days. It's kind of complicated. But basically, one day is designing a person's house for that day, and then you're done. Or a building, I don't know. I guess, do you think we'll see a mainline game without it, Nina?
I hope not. Again, like I said earlier, it sets it so much apart from other sim games that I feel like it would lose all its integrity if we lost that. Like we were talking about before, I do think they can figure out ways to make it more round-the-clock friendly. Like Phyllis worked the after hours shift in the mailroom. That was amazing. I feel like we need after hours characters in the town hall, because poor Nook and Isabel are there 24 hours a day, which is ridiculous. So we are kind of missing a couple things that make the world feel real. But it is helpful that, you know, the town hall is open whenever you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, that was something that I would have loved to see them play with in, like, a 24-hour version of Animal Crossing, where it's like, oh, shops are open 24 hours in here to make it convenient to everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. Have other characters swap in and work the shops when the daytime hour people are not in, you know? Mm-hmm. Day shift, night shift, and give your villagers little jobs, too, so they can fill in and make those places kind of useful for you, you know? Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to mention is, I guess I want to give my take on this. I think it could be possible that they make an Animal Crossing game without the real-time clock, but I would think it'd be like way in this distant future, and it would only happen if people just keep complaining about like the features that really require the real-time clock. Things like waiting a day to build something, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe in the distant future when completely different people are in charge, but at the same time, I don't see it happen because so many key aspects to the game are tied to that. Stuff like the seasons, weather, all this sort of thing that makes it, holidays, so many things that make the game feel alive throughout the year are tied to this feature, you know? But that said, like, to me, Animal Crossing New Horizons really filled in the gameplay in ways that I don't think previous Animal Crossing games did. And part of my evidence to that is just that, like, 7 years of playing New Leaf netted me 1,000 hours of gameplay on that game. Mm-hmm. 1 year of New Horizons has already given me 1,000 hours of gameplay, you know? I did not think it was possible for an Animal Crossing game to get me to that point. To me, it's always been like, you check in 30 minutes, have a good time. I mean, I think my average time, if I check my 3DS on New Leaf, was like 50 minutes each login. So, which I wish the Switch had a stats feature like that, because it was so cool. We'll repeat that every time this comes up. But yeah, so like my average play time was like 50 minutes per session in New Leaf. And I dread to look at what my average playtime of New Horizons was at the same time. But I think it really was due to the gameplay becoming more active. And stuff like terraforming and crafting and designing your island were just like more active roles for players. Because past games, you wake up every day and you're like, all right, time to check the shops. Let's see what's in stock. Okay, that's what's there. Can't really use this stuff if I don't really like it. I'll wait till tomorrow now. But New Horizons is like, now you have this whole catalog of things you can craft, and you can keep crafting more and more of it as long as you keep getting the materials for it. And there's just like, it keeps going. Like, the gameplay is so, I don't want to use the word time consuming, but it's like you're getting more time. It's taking more time from you, you know, to do a lot of the actions. And I feel that benefits the real time clock by filling in those gaps for players, giving them less wait time and more of like, oh, I don't have to wait. I can just do this right now and have fun right now, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. So Sergio, I guess I rambled on for a while there. what do you think? Do you think we'll see a mainline Animal Crossing without the clock?
No, I don't think so. I think if anything, Nintendo's going to try different things to have the workarounds, like Dina mentioned, 24-hour shops, maybe the ordinances, but even better, maybe just the ability for the player to change the hour right then and there at any time, but it's still, you know, keeping the real time going. Like, if it's, I don't know, if it's late in the game and you want to go do something that you couldn't, maybe you can, I don't know, travel back 6 hours right there on the spot, but then it keeps going back real time after that. And then maybe it resets after your session that day. So things like that, I think, may happen, but I definitely don't see a mainline game without the real time clock, and I don't want to see one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't really want to see one because I think that's a very special part of the gameplay for sure. Yeah. So my last question for both of you, what would you do to make the real-time aspect more important to the future of the series? Nina, what would you do?
I kind of want them to push that real-time even further. like we talked about before, I want to see the special characters, you know, have shifts that they switch in and out of. I'd love to see them walk to and from work and take lunch breaks.
Yes.
I think it'd be super cute if your villagers could take part-time jobs. I think you already said that, Chewy. I want the villagers to feel more affected by the time of day. I have seen some villagers walking around like with lunch boxes or sandwiches around lunchtime or around dinner time, but it just doesn't feel purposeful. It just feels like they're kind of holding something like they would another time of the day. So I do want to see them with more of like a schedule. And then I think it'd be really cute if you could link your Nook phones with your really good friends so you could see their schedule and be like, oh, it's 4 o'clock on a Friday. That means, you know, that Hazel's at her part-time job. I think that would be so cute.
I think that's adorable, especially because like, right now, the characters are only really tied to their real-time clock in, like, their wake hours.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is, like, certain characters wake up at certain times. I know a lot of their schedules. It's dependent on their personalities, but surprisingly enough, lazy characters are up pretty early. Jock characters are up early. Normal as well. The ones who sleep in a little bit later are the crankies, the snooties, and the sisterly villagers. Right? Yes. I think are the latest, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they wake up at like 9:30 or so. And the one quirk that I see with this is every once in a while you do see a villager has slept in or woken up early, and they'll kind of mention it to you in their dialogue. Deirdre sometimes is up early and she kind of says, hey, I just opened my eyes this morning and I was ready to go. So here I am kind of thing. And then I've seen other characters sleep in where they're like, oh, I just don't want to get out of bed this time. So decided to keep sleeping. I think I've seen it with the lazy villagers where they're like, I didn't want to wake the bugs or something.
And when you try and move their house while they're sleeping, they show up in their little pajamas to yes. the nook.
Yes.
Oh, that's the cutest.
Yeah. If you go around their bedtime, you'll see them in their house in their pajamas. So I think for maybe about 30 minutes before they go to bed, they will. You can see them out and about. But it's just in their house, I guess.
See, I want them to push that. What if they were brushing their teeth or like putting like a face mask on or something like that? I want to see more of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be adorable. So Sergio, I guess what would you want to happen with this?
Yeah, I'm with both of you. I want them to add even more time-sensitive things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, add more things to give the player the ability to work around them. Like we said, with the ordinances. Or actually, what I want them to do is to come up with more creative ways of doing that in more interactive ways. We have talked about maybe like part-time jobs, but maybe also, let's say if you really connect with a special character, like you talk to them every time you visit the shops, maybe eventually you can convince them to open up earlier or later. Oh. So it's technically not an ordinance. It doesn't affect all the shops, just the ones that you frequent the most and the ones that you kind of want to have a little bit of leeway here with the hours, either earlier or later. Mm-hmm. Or if they do hopefully someday add part-time jobs, if you have a job at a certain place, you kind of have the keys so you can go in anywhere you need to, right? So so just things like that, more ways to play with the time, but also to work around it if you cannot make a certain thing certain day at the certain time.
Yeah, I love all these things. They're really great. Yeah.
I'm worried that Sergio's taking money from the register now.
Yeah, I mean, Sergio is up before everybody, 3 a.m.
<It's true. laughs>
So you never know what he's up to at the wee hours of the night. Yeah, I would go a little bit of a different route. I miss, and it hurts to say, but I kind of do miss Tom Nook's entrepreneurial spirit, because the things he did with the shops in the past were really cool. His reward programs were great.
Yeah.
Like the first game, everything you buy, you got a raffle ticket. There was a raffle at the end of the month that you can get special items with for shopping at Nook's. It was really awesome. There were those rewards in City Folk where they were Nintendo items, but you did get like Nook points. I forget what they were called, but you did get some points and you can redeem different things with those points and everything. So I wouldn't mind like Nook's Cranny having like a daily drawing for things, like show up to the store and, you know, have a chance to get something really special that doesn't usually show up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I think there are a lot of fun little things that you can add to the shops that make them a little bit more worth visiting each and every day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, we've been talking for a while about the real-time clock and everything. I think we all agree it's a pretty essential feature to the Animal Crossing series, and we're glad it's around, and we hope it doesn't go away anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and end the show with our Haken's Islander Corner. For those of you who don't know, every single week we ask our patrons on Patreon a question and read their answers out loud here on the show. And this week's question was, what company would you like to have a collaboration with Animal Crossing? And we asked them this with the context of, you know, we've got the Build-A-Bear collaboration coming up. We've had the makeup collaboration. And I think in the past there was a Nike one. It was kind of not so explicit as these other two, but, you know, it's out there. So, yeah, I guess we'll go Sergio, then Nina, then me.
Okay.
Okay. So Nike Pixie said, I agree. I would love to see a Studio Ghibli collaboration for sure. Imagine the items and furniture and even villagers the collaboration can produce. Aside from that, since I collect Funko Pops, it would be super cool if they partnered with them. It might be impossible since Nintendo already has their own amiibo figures, but I would love to see figures other than the NPCs and popular villagers be created. Mm. I want to see underrated villagers be represented. Also, I just want my own Pashmina and Diana. That's true. Man, Funko Pops, that would be pretty cool too.
Man. Yeah, and honestly, I don't know how distant that would be, considering, you know, there are Nintendo-made plushes that are around, but they're still going to Build-A-Bear, you know, to do something. Yeah. So I think it's a possibility still.
Yeah. Mark Bridgewater says, Final Fantasy for me. Can you imagine the fun you could have? Costumes, music, hairstyles, weapons hung on the walls. I would love it. Wow. Man. That reminds me of how Link decorates his house in Breath of the Wild with all the big, you know, legendary swords and things you can get.
Mm-hmm. I definitely did that. Yeah, so our next answer is from Leah J. Jens, and they said, I think a Vans shoe collaboration would be so cool. Yeah. Some canvas shoes or high tops in that turquoise leaf pattern or a fruit pattern. So cute. I would buy these for sure.
Yeah, I'm love a fan. Vans.
Me too.
Nice. Rainbop said, I would die happy if Nintendo did a collaboration with Studio Ghibli. Imagine all the possibilities. Endless adorable Totoro items and furniture, little Kodama statues from Princess Mononoke, and clothes and furniture from Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle, like a little no-face mask or calcifer fireplace. Oh. Even just the Ghibli food items in this game, Ponyo's Ramen, Kiki's Cake, would be amazing. I know a collaboration like that would excite a lot of fans. Mm-hmm. That's true. Like Studio Ghibli, like, it sort of connects with Animal Crossing. I see a lot of people that really want that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people make Ghibli-inspired islands already. Right. So right. They would be having a great time. It's like Nina getting pirate stuff from Gullivar.
Yeah. I think this would be a good collab, too, because both Nintendo and Ghibli move at like a slower pace. Like the movies don't feel rushed, and you know, obviously Animal Crossing's real-time clock isn't rushed either, so they both have just kind of like a very cozy feeling to them. I think that'd be really cute. Islander Logan says, the company I want to collaborate with Animal Crossing New Horizons the most is probably Atlas, the creators of Persona. I just need Persona-themed items and or villagers. Some of my favorite franchises combining would make me so happy. Ooh, so I've never played Persona. I need to look into this.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind would be a Morgana as a villager. Yes, Logan, you're right. You're right, Logan.
Yeah. And our last answer is from Kyle Stewart's, and they said Donkey Kong, since a lot of the items would be jungle theme.
Oh.
That'd be good. I've seen a lot more people kind of like get excited about the jungle, I guess jungle themed islands and everything. Right. So people do some really good jobs with those designs too, and it helps that you can put some sand down and put some palm trees on your main island.
And they always would have to add bananas back into the game.
That's true.
Right. Yeah, we're missing bananas. There are a bunch of fruit that aren't in this game.
In all of the Nintendo items that we have, are any of them Donkey Kong themed?
I actually don't know.
Hmm.
I don't recall.
I don't think there are. I know there's Mario Kart, but I don't think there are.
Which they had the bananas, but I don't think those are explicitly Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's interesting. I wonder why Donkey Kong was left out.
Yeah, that seems weird.
Yeah.
Well, time to fix it, Nintendo. add it in. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Haken and Animal Crossing Podcast. don't want the episode to end? Well, you can keep the conversation going by Nintendo switching over to our Discord. Just follow the link in the description, and you can talk with other people who love Animal Crossing as much as you do, including Sergio, Nina, and me. Want to support the show in a bigger way and get your voice heard during the show? Visit patreon.com/ChewyPlaysNintendo. You can support our show with just $1, get special access to a secret room on Discord, join in on the Haken Islander Corner, and even read a monthly newsletter covering all things Haken and Chewy Plays. We really appreciate the support and put your money towards some great things on the show. Tuned in on YouTube? The comments are a great place to let us know your answers to the Haken Islander Corner. What company would you like to have a collaboration with Animal Crossing? If you dig what you hear, please KK slide over to that review section on your platform of choice. Let people know what they're missing out on. Haken is a Wild production brought to you by Chewy, Sergio, Nina, and all of our patrons. We thank you for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you all next time.